Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus, the blessed Son of Righteousness, the light of the world, the one we worship this day, the one who will come again to take his church to heaven. Our text is the gospel lesson, Luke 21. I'm going to zero in on one particular little verse or phrase in that text that's for our comfort. Let us pray as we consider God's word. Lord, remind us always that we cannot truly live on bread alone, but we live on every word that comes from your mouth. So ever give us ears and hearts and minds to receive you, the true living bread, that we trust in you, live in you, have great joy in you until you come again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me begin in kind of an odd way. Are you able to pluck one hair from your head? Go ahead and try. Not two hairs, not five hairs. If you're bald, guys, go ahead and use your neighbor for this, okay, John? All right, you can use Lindsay. Can you get a hair? One hair. It's all right if you don't. You lost a bunch of them when you combed your hair today. You did comb your hair, didn't you? Probably lost a lot there. One hair. Can't even see it. Insignificant. One hair. And yet it is our object lesson today. One little insignificant hair, a very important part of the gospel reading today. In Luke 21, Jesus is preaching his final sermon on this earth, public sermon. It is Holy Week in Luke 21, which means he's going to die later that week. It is Tuesday of Holy Week. He's coming in Jerusalem Palm Sunday. Now he's around the temple teaching and preaching. Lots of people are there. His final sermon we have here in Luke 21. And he will die on Good Friday just a couple days later. It's very, very important words. Preparing his church for the end of the world. And he says, as the end is going to come, in summary, there's going to be a lot of trouble. There's going to be false teaching. Well, we have a lot of that now. We'll have even more of it probably. There's going to be a lot of fighting, wars, rumors of wars, kingdom against kingdom. We have a lot of that now. We'll have even more. We've had a lot of that in the past. There's going to be famines and earthquakes and pestilence all over the place. We have a lot of that now. Typhoons, hurricanes, earthquakes all over the place now and then, don't we? More and more to come. And there's going to be a lot of fear. That's noted at the end. People are going to faint because of their fear of what's coming on the earth. What's going on in this crazy world? Lots of people are very afraid of the future. Yet in the midst of all that, the Christian, you and I, are to have faith. And our faith should shine like the sun in this dark world. For Jesus says at the end of all that trouble, he does not say, well, church, run and hide somewhere. Panic, cry. He says, straighten up, church. Stand up and be bold. Everybody else is running, cowering, afraid. You stand up and be bold and look up and pray to your God and have faith in your God and proclaim what he's done. And that's the posture of the Christian church in the last days. We're not quiet. We don't cower in the corner. We don't crawl in a cave saying, what can I do to this big bad world? We stand up. We look up to God and pray. And we tell our neighbor, and we're bold about it. Now's the time to speak up. Faith. In the midst of this wonderful gospel lesson, not so wonderful, it's very foreboding, you have a wonderful little verse. You have a little light in the darkness. You have a little promise in all the pain. Did you catch it? Jesus says, especially when he's talking about being persecuted and Christians dying, being betrayed by their parents and brothers and relatives. He says, yet not a hair, not one hair on your head will perish. Maybe he plucked out a hair. Plucked out one of Peter's hairs and said, not a hair on your head will perish. All this trouble, yet not a hair of your head will perish. I love that little verse. It's for our comfort. Let me say three things about it. To build up faith today, that we be bold and stand up and look up and proclaim. First of all, this little bitty verse, that not a hair on your head will perish. This is to teach us are great, great, great value to God. I am valuable. Say that with me. I am valuable. Maybe not to anybody else, but I'm valuable to God. Because he says so. When I read this, I am to think, I am a child of God baptized. I am his treasured possession. I'm a lamb of the good shepherd. And he holds me in his hand. And no one and nothing can snatch me from his loving hand. I recall that. I'm the apple of his eye. I am significant. I am special. I am so valuable, my God. And this gives me faith. When all hell breaks loose in Luke 21 and in the world. You see, God knows little old fat me and little old you. He knows us so well as individuals. He loves us so very, very much. He cares for us so very much. He knows when we lose one hair. And that matters to God. And he promises we'll get it back. It will not be lost or perish. You'll get it back in the resurrection in heaven, for you will live forever. God cares in that kind of detail for you and I. You and I don't care about one hair, maybe a lot of hair, but not one. God knows me so well. He knows when I lose one hair. He cares about it, loves me, and he even promises to give it to me back. What a God we have. All this trouble of Luke 21, with all the wars and trouble and hatred and false teaching, yet nothing will happen, friend. Notice this. Nothing will happen. Nothing will happen apart from the will of God. Down to the detail of you losing one hair. That's how valuable we are to God. And we'll get it back, he says. So don't be afraid. Don't read Luke 21 and say, oh, no one's in control. There's chaos everywhere. No, God's in complete control. Our God reigns and rules. He is in such control. He knows every detail of what's happening. He's going to work it all for our good. He's going to give us everything back. So have faith. Even to losing one hair. And if God knows that, controls that, he controls everything else that's a lot bigger too, doesn't he? So why are we so afraid of this or that happening in the world? Jesus said it would happen. Have faith. God turns the worst thing in the world into the best. He can do it in your life, my life, in the world. Evidence? The evidence is the cross. If you were at the cross those days on Good Friday, talk about where's God? You've forsaken us, God. Where are you, God? You're not in control anymore, God, because this innocent man is being murdered on a cross. Yet God turned that horrific event. When Jesus gave a lot more than his hair, he gave his life for us. God turned that into the greatest good, the salvation of the world. God specializes on taking bad things and turning them into good. You lose a hair, you get it back. You lose a hand, you get it back. You lose your life, you get it back. So why are we afraid? You know, I was given a book this week to let me know that I'm special. And I kind of knew that anyway from love of people and love of God. But the school, I want to thank the school, they gave me this wonderful book, The Pastor Protocol. And sometime I'll lay this out, you can look at it more. But every kid in our school, kindergarten through eighth grade, wrote something about a pastor here. And they had a really nice breakfast on Wednesday morning for pastors. This is a good thing. Thanks to Lindsay Hoffman, Ruth Blackwell, the teachers. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but what was cute here, Christmas is coming, right? And you're all asking, when am I going to get my pastor for Christmas, of course. And one little segment of the book, if you were buying a pastor a gift, what would you give him by third and fourth grade? And I love these answers. Here's all Christmas ideas for the pastor and for Ann. If I could get Pastor gift, I would give him a trip to Hawaii. That's pretty good. I like that. If I could give Pastor a gift, I'd give him a trip to Florida Keys. I'll take that too. This is getting good. If I could give Pastor a gift, I'd give him a Bible, a big feast. Must be talking about me. And a trip to China. All right, I got Hawaii, Florida, China, a feast, and a Bible. All right, all Christmas ideas. If I give Pastor a gift, I give him a trip to New York, okay? And you can bring somebody. Ann can go along. And a new car. That's getting good. I give Pastor a gift, I give him a trip to Hawaii. Two trips to Hawaii. Wow, what a Christmas I'm going to have. If I give Pastor a gift, I give him a chance to preach at the best church in the world. Well, I have that right now, First Lutheran Church. Can I hear an amen? Amen. If I could give Pastor a gift, I'd give him a trip to Florida. Two trips to Hawaii, two to Florida, and China, and New York, and a car, and a Bible, and a feast. I give Pastor a gift. I give him a trip to Key West. That's Florida too, isn't it? Three trips to Florida. Incredible. Wow. If I give Pastor a gift, I give him a trip to Mississippi. I'll take it, Mississippi. Why not? I'll take it. If I give Pastor a gift, I give him a trip to Hawaii. Three trips to Hawaii, three to Florida, China, Mississippi, New York, a new car, a feast. Can I hear an amen to that? Amen. All right. I'll be lucky to make it to Illinois in the winter to see in-laws. You feel special that 90-plus kids in a school would write something to you. Wonderful. Thank you, school kids. I'll lay it out. You can read more sometime. But God's written us a book, too, to tell us that we're special. It's called the Bible. He so loves us, He gave us His Son. His Son shed His blood for you and I, rose again, washed us in our baptism. You don't think you're a somebody, look to Jesus. Look to your baptism. Not one hair of yours will perish in all this trouble. You're valuable. Secondly, these words remind us that we are victorious. I am valuable and I am victorious. This is a resurrection verse. You're going to get not one hair will perish. Doesn't mean you won't die or something won't happen to your hair. It means that you will continue to live. And we will live in heaven and you'll get your hair back in the resurrection on the last day is what it implies. It's a great resurrection verse. You're going to get it all back. You're going to rise again. You're going to shine in glory. We're going to be together again. Though there's trouble and war and all sorts of famine and pestilence, we're all going to be together again in heaven. We're all going to be renewed in body and soul with our hair, our arms, our limbs, our legs, our bodies, our eyes, our ears. We're all going to be back renewed in the resurrection, perfect, immortal, and glorious. That's all in this one little verse. Not a hair of yours will perish. You will rise again and live forever in heaven. So don't be afraid. And I think of some of the men that heard these words the first time and what happened to them. I think of St. Peter. He heard these words, and yet what happened to Peter? Crucified upside down on a cross. A terrible death. He lost a lot, more than his hair. And I think of Andrew, his dear brother. Andrew crucified on an X cross, diagonally dying for his Lord. I think of Thomas, who after he believed, went to India. And there he preached the gospel in India, was stabbed by a pagan priest and burned with fire. His hair got burned. And Bartholomew, Nathaniel, skinned alive by his tormentors, skinned alive piece by piece. His body put in a bag, thrown into the sea. Horrific, terrible martyrdom, death. And yet the Lord's words must have been in their minds and hearts as they were dying. Not a hair on my head will perish. I will rise again in triumph with a new body. We believe in the resurrection of the body. We believe in heaven. We believe that we will live forever and we are victorious in Jesus even now, even though often we don't feel like it or look like it. Believe it. We all want a new body, even now. Recall a cute story of a little girl talking to her grandmother. She said, "Grandma, are you a lot younger than Grandpa?" And the grandmother was kind of flattered. She said, "Well, no, Grandpa and I are about the same age." And then she was kind of fishing for a compliment. "Why do you ask?" thinking that I'm a lot younger than Grandpa. And the little girl said, "Well, your mustache is a lot smaller than his." Nothing like bursting her bubble, huh? We all want, and by the way, don't pluck a hair out of your mustache, ladies or men, okay? We all want a new body. We all want to look good. We want to look young. We want compliments. Go work out. That's all fine and good to be healthy. We're going to be young in heaven. Glorious. Perfect. And then finally, because we are so valuable and we are victorious, let us use our voices to proclaim what our God has done. It's time to straighten up as winners on this earth. and look up, raise up our heads, as Jesus says, and be bold witnesses for Jesus. Now's the time. Now's the time not to be quiet. Not to say my faith is between God and me and I don't want anybody else to know. Now's not the time for that. It never has been. Now's the time to proclaim and be a Christian and be proud of it. And with humility and love and gentleness, yet boldness, tell your friend, your neighbor, and the world about Jesus. That they too be saved. That they too know that every hair on their head is special to God. And God will save them too, has saved them by the death of Jesus. We can see all of Luke 21 as obstacles. And many do. Oh, there's war, and there's all this false teaching, and earthquakes and typhoons in the Philippines, all this trouble and people dying. It's all obstacles. What can the church do? What can little old me do with all this trouble? I'll just sit over here and crawl in the corner and cry and be afraid. These things are not obstacles. As Jesus says there, he says, this is for you an opportunity. Luke 21 is an open door to opportunity. God is opening doors in people's minds and hearts that people may want him finally. God, as I said in Bible class, is creating a hunger for himself. The world doesn't want God, so God says, I love you enough, I'll create a hunger for you by making things bad for you. And when things are really, really bad and evil, finally, you may open your ears and learn that I'm the one thing that's good that you really need, and not money and sport and pleasure and popularity. I'm what you need. I'll make it really, really dark so that finally you want the light, and I'm the light that can save you. And so the church has to be there now in the future, speaking of that light, speaking of the goodness of God and the hope that we have in him. So there are wars and rumors of wars. Speak to people about the peace we have with God. There's no war with God, friend. God's reconciled himself to you. Be at peace, though the whole world crumble. So there's earthquakes and famines and pestilence. We tell the world there's one sure foundation you can stand on, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. Stand on him and believe in him. He's our one foundation. So there's much trouble. We tell the world of the triumph of Jesus over all things in his death and resurrection, the forgiveness of sins and eternal life in his name. Will you be a voice? Or will you be shy and scared? I don't want to get in someone else's business. Be your brother's keeper. Do not grow weary in doing good for others. And the greatest good is to open this thing and tell him or her about your Savior and bring him to church. You know, I have never watched this show on TV. There's a show called The Voice, and I always see commercials for it. There's enough bad singers singing bad songs on TV. I don't need to watch that show. We are to be the voice. We, the church, not a little bitty mousy voice, but a strong, bold voice for our God these days. Be a voice. Speak up. Christ says, it's for your opportunity to testify of me. Will you do it? You know what 2013 has been called? Way back in January, note they labeled this year, now coming to a close, they called it the year of optimism, the year of hope. Things are going to get better. Are they better? Luke 21 doesn't talk about things getting a whole lot better. Out there, there's not a lot of optimism. Out there, not a lot of hope. But in here, in the church, in the gospel, in the word, in the sacraments, there's great hope. We are optimistic people. We are hopeful people because we have a bright future in heaven because God reigns. That's what we have to exude before people. We're hopeful. We're joyful. We're peaceful. We're optimistic, not about the world, but about our God who forgives sins and wins. And how that will attract people. But if we walk around with our heads down saying, yeah, it's a terrible world and I'm so sad and it's pathetic and I don't know what to do either, why do they want to join a church? Be bold. Straighten up. Have faith. Not one hair on your head will perish. I am valuable. I am victorious. I will be a voice. With that we say, amen. We rise. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.